The astrology of the world and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
I heard your interview with Cy Hirsch, and I kind of find it amusing to hear.
Right down, it's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery
in PG. I heard your interview with Cy Hirsch, and I kind of find it amusing to hear.
1004 Silver Chevy Tahoe.
Yes, ma'am. I'm in the front of my business. I want to leave, and I can't find my keys.
Okay, well, I put a signal through to have the doors open. I'm sure we won't have any problems.
Thank
Would
you.
Would you prefer I called you back, or did you want to hold?
No, you can call me.
No one offers more vehicles with the safety of OnStar than Chevy.
You're the best.
Oh, great. Well, you have a good night, sir.
I'm in love with OnStar. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad we can help.
Choose a vehicle.
And the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
And if you're new to the program, or I'm new to you, you can find out more information, listen to archive programs, link to our live stream. It's all available to you on the web at peterbcollins.com. That's where you can email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com. And if you don't like what you're hearing, you can also email me, loudmouth at peterbcollins.com. It'll get to me.
One night in the disco on the outskirts of Bristol, I was cruising with my favorite gang. The place was so boring, filled with out-of-towners touring. I knew that it wasn't my thing.
Now, I am not the world's greatest dancer.
It wasn't caring, but I felt my
I just happen to like this song. On the program today, we're going to talk about the heated debate over immigration law in this country. You'll get a perspective from David Bacon of Pacific News Service. He's been covering this issue for a long time now. I just happen to like this song. On the program today, we're going to talk about the heated debate over immigration law in this country. You'll get a perspective from David Bacon of Pacific News Service. He's been covering this issue for a long time now, and we'll hear from him in about a half an hour. In our second hour today, we're going to spend it with Jason Leopold. He is the investigative reporter who publishes at truthout.org, and he has been all over the Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame smear campaign that came out of the White House, and, well, it's unraveling more and more. Hour, that's where we open up the phone lines to hear from you on any issue, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And should you like to call the program, we would be delighted to hear from you at any point along the way. It's a toll-free call at 1-8 for that.
Yeah, lemon. That's a good thing to add.
Yeah.
But it's a great example of a really easy thing to make for yourself that's also really healthy.
It is, indeed. And you eat that with some a pita-style bread, and you're on your way.
Exactly. Got yourself a meal.
So you have a new book out called Grub.
I do, just out last week.
Yeah? Tell us about it.
So GRUB is our word. That's my co-author, Bryant Terra, at Chemicals. And when you work with nature and you let the soil grow itself, be healthy, then you'll have lots of little critters like grubs around.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at the website that we want to direct people to, eatgrub.org. That's a simple one, eatgrub.org. And on the homepage, you define grub as a noun. And there are three different listings here. One is, according to you, the Dictionary of LePay. Grub is healthy, local, sustainable food for all. Two, grub is food that supports community justice and sustainability. Three, grub should be universal. Let's start at the end. What do you mean by universal in this context?
Well, we mean, you know, I think a lot of us living in the United States, we take a couple things for granted. I think we believe that we all should have a right to basic education. A lot of us believe we have a right to health care. And what Bryant and I really believe is that in a country as wealthy as ours, and especially in a country that calls itself a democracy, that all of us citizens have a right to the most essential thing in life, which is food. So, again, this is this idea that we're not talking about food that should just be for certain people or should just be affordable to those who have a lot of wealth, that we're saying that this is food that should be for everyone. So, what we talk about in Grub is the fact that currently in this country there are a lot of people who don't have access to healthy food. You go to some communities in this country. I was just in Oakland last night, and you look at a community like West Oakland, which is a low-income community in Oakland, California, that has 35,000 people, has 46 liquor stores, and that have maybe carry some potato chips and other junk food, and only one grocery store. So we're talking about the fact that there are a lot of communities like that around the country, and that there's no reason why your income should determine your access to food, and we all should have access to food that's good for our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Now, your second definition here, grub is food that supports community justice and sustainability. I get the sense from talking with you and your mother, Frances Moore LePay, or Frankie, over the years, that you kind of go back and forth between looking at the politics of food and trying to help people enjoy food without the complications of politics.
Mm.
Is that fair?
Well, I actually think that, you know, I think that we really, in Grub, we really want people to have fun with food and to enjoy it. And so you're right. It's about really taking all the pleasure you can get from great tasting food. And that's where Bryant's recipes come in. And the recipes are oriented around menus that are perfect for dinner parties. And so we've thrown our own Grub parties, and we suggest ways to throw your own Grub parties. And Bryant even includes suggested soundtracks to listen to while you're cooking the food and eating the food with your friends. So we bring in that element to it. But I guess I wouldn't say that you would, if you think about the politics of food, you're diminishing your pleasure of food. I mean, to me, when I think about when I buy food from a local farmer in Brooklyn, New York, a local farmer in upstate New York, and I buy at my local farmer's market and I eat that food tastes better to me because I know the politics of it, because I know where it came from, because I know that it's supporting those farmers who I love, who are staying on the land because we're buying their food. So to me, it's not a trade-off to think about the big issues and to think about the pleasure you get from food.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very well explained, because on, you know, the simplest level, you want people to have the best quality food and enjoy it, both, you know, for the taste and the experience, but also for the nutritional value and the other health impacts that are presented. At the same time, it is important to underscore sustainability, to talk about organic farming techniques, to reject the factory farming and the Monsanto approach to mixing pesticides with control of the seed industry around the world. So there are a lot of important issues. And, you know, I think once you get somebody, you get past their hunger, they're willing to sit there and pay attention to the deeper issues.
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break and continue with Anna LePay. Again, the book is called Grub, and you can get more information on the web at eatgrub.org. And right after the break, I've got news for our listeners in the Santa Cruz and Monterey area. Anna LePay and her co-author will be visiting this coming Monday, April 17th. We'll give you the lowdown as we continue. And if you have a question or comment, join us right now on the Central Coast of California, 831-899-5792, a local call. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere, 1-888-579-2540. 16 minutes past the hour. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from The Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let's do it.
20 minutes past the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Anna LaPay. The new book is called Grub, and you can visit the website eatgrub.org to get more information. In a moment, I want to run down a list of 10 actions for just food and a just world that you can find on the website. But before we get to that, I want to mention that Anna LaPay and her co-author, Bryant, will be at the Café La Vie in Santa Cruz this coming Monday, April 17th. That's at 1 p.m. And then you'll be speaking that evening at UC Santa Cruz. Do you know the location on the campus yet, Anna?
If people want to come to that event, the best way to find out about where it's happening is actually to send an email to molly@eatgrub.org.
Okay, molly@eatgrub.org. But the time and the campus are correct, so that's 7 p.m. Monday at UC Santa Cruz.
Exactly.
Great. And we've got a caller on the line for Anna LaPay. It's Marina from the Monterey area. Hello, Marina.
Hello, my humble host.
How are you doing today?
I hope you had a good vacation.
I did.
Wonderful.
I went to the East Coast and I ate a lot.
Oh, that isn't such a good idea. Now, I am not very good in statistics. I don't know the numbers. But I'd like to make a statement concerning the immigration problem. I understand that in the early 1900s or the late 1800s, millions of people from all over, I mean Europe,
mm-hmm.
they
hey,
came...
Hey, Marina, can I stop you for just a second?
Surely.
I only have a few more minutes with Anna LaPay here, and we are going to talk about immigration at length with David Bacon in the next segment. So would you mind saving your thoughts for that?
Okay.
It would fit a little bit better, and you could
If I can get through, that would be wonderful.
Well, if you'd like to just be put on hold, we can save that line for you, and in about 10 minutes, David Bacon will be with us.
Oh, terrific.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate your cooperation on that. And, Anna, you're free to comment on the immigration debate that's going on and the public actions that have taken place over the last few weeks on your 10 actions for a just food and a just world. Number four is support fair trade products and worker rights. So why don't we start there?
Well, I'm actually glad that that question came up. I heard that you'll be talking about immigration later on your show. And, of course, immigration is a huge issue for the food system in this country. There are more than 2.5 million farm workers. Many of them are immigrant workers. And so it's a huge issue. And there have been a lot of ways throughout the past century that a lot of big food, big industrial farms have really been able to exploit those immigrant workers because many of them are undocumented. They're afraid to become unionized, afraid to speak out for their treatment by their employers. And so a lot of huge industrial farms have been able to use immigrant labor without treating their workers fairly. And so part of what Grub is, as you mentioned, it's about food that is, it's fair food as well, and that means that as much as possible, the farmer, the workers on the land, or if it's meat, the workers in the meatpacking plants were treated fairly on the job. And unfortunately, currently, a lot of the food that we find in our supermarket was not produced with fairness from seed to table.
And consumers have an important role to play here. We cannot necessarily tell agribusiness exactly what to do, but if we are enlightened in the way we spend our food dollars, a very clear message is communicated to the farmers, the manufacturers, and the distributors that, we make choices that include their labor practices.
Sure, exactly. I mean, what do companies hear? They hear our dollars. And one of my favorite farmers, a man named John Kinsman, I just saw over the weekend. He's still going strong, almost, I think he's turning 80 in a month. And he's a wonderful farmer, a dairy farmer, organic dairy farmer in Wisconsin. And he has a great line where he says that every single dollar you spend on food is a vote for the kind of world you want to live in. And I think that's really true, that when we are making a choice to support our local farmers, that's really saying that we want to see farmers stay on the land. And when we're giving our dollars to companies that treat their workers poorly, we're really effectively endorsing that. So I think it's a strong power that we have in terms of the voice that we have as consumers.
Guys, right in with number two on your list, vote your values with your dollar and fork. And you suggest that people find out where your bank, where your university, or your pension funds invest their money and make sure that your sense of the right choices is communicated to the people who are decision makers in those entities.
Yes, and a lot of people around that we've been talking to, kind of get think, okay, this is a great idea, and I hear what you're saying, but how do you actually do it? And that's where a lot of people get blocked, is they think that seems so insurmountable to be expressing your values in this way. And luckily, and what we talk about in our book, is that increasingly around the country, there are more and more ways for us to be really voting our values with our fork and with our dollars. And so on our website, we have some of those resources in the book. A big part of the book is actually a chapter called Seven Steps to a Grub Kitchen, where I walk people through then what does it take to go from kind of thinking this is a good idea to actually making it easy and convenient for you to cook this way and to really bring a grub diet into your life.
Another item here on the list is to create brand-free zones. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, what I mean by that, in that case, thinking about your kitchen or your medicine cabinet, but is again, it goes back to really the same principle of what is it that we're voting for when we're purchasing products. And when you think about it, when you're buying food products, a lot of the branded food products, so a cereal, for instance, a breakfast cereal, a lot of the money that you spend for that cereal is not going to the products. In fact, breakfast cereal, the products that go into making the ingredients that go into making that cereal are some mm-hmm. of the cheapest on the market.
Yeah.
And a lot of your money is actually going to the advertising of them advertising to you. And so one of the things we talk about in Grub are the ways for you to buy the ingredients as opposed to the branded product. And that means that you're getting more bang for your buck. You're not effectively giving a company money to advertise to you. And so that's what we mean by having a brand-free kitchen. So there are just a few in my kitchen. I just have a few products that, like my organic milk or my soy milk, you know, that are from a brand. But a lot of what I buy are in bulk that I get at my local food co-op. So I don't have lots of brands in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hear what you're saying. I do favor a corporate brand of cereal, and it's $4 a box. You know, and I'm sorry, you know, a few raisins and these little crispy things don't cost $4 to produce.
Right.
So I know I'm paying for a lot of advertising and the purchase of shelf space, et cetera.
Right.
Well, Anna, I want to thank you for joining us. We don't have time to cover all 10 of these, but if people go to the website eatgrub.org, you can get full information on the new book, Grub, and on Anna LaPay and Bryant Terry, the co-authors. Again, they'll be appearing on Monday, the 17th, in Santa Cruz at Café La Vie at 1 p.m. That's at 429 Front Street, and that evening at UC Santa Cruz. And I want to thank you for joining us on the program today, Anna.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Always nice to talk with you.
You
Coming
too.
Up next, David Bacon will be with us to discuss immigration right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Ford Fusion, a four-door, five-passenger, mid-size sedan. This is my first time in a Fusion, and I think it's a great value. It delivers good mileage, even with a peppy, fuel-injected, 3-liter V6 engine and a 6-speed automatic. We took it for a weekend in the Napa Valley, and it performed very well. Inside, it's roomy and well-equipped with all the usual power toys, including 6-way power driver's seat and wheel-mounted radio controls. Options on my demo include heated seats and an audiophile sound system with 6 CD changer, MP3 input, and great speakers. If you like the Altima, Camry, or similar cars, test drive the Fusion. By the numbers, the 2006 Ford Fusion gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $26,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped this headline.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at a high level of our government. And so,
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got a good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect front man for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Live from the left coast, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. We shine a little light to help you navigate here in the new dark ages. Coming up next hour, Jason Leopold in his weekly visit on the program. He'll air out for us what he has learned in the past week or two about the White House conspiracy to smear Joe Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame Wilson. Our music of the moment from Carlos Santana. It's called Migra. And I am one Anglo-American who is very pleased to see the activism of Hispanics, both citizens and undocumented, who have courageously taken to the streets day after day as posturing politicians have worked over the immigration issue for political benefit, or so they think. And I happen to believe that the Republicans have overreached, that the Tom Tancredos in the House thought they had a hot political issue that they would use as a wedge issue against Democrats in this upcoming midterm election. And while Democrats have not entirely distinguished themselves in this debate, I do think that they have been trying to permit the onerous bill from the House of Representatives to stand as a marker of the intent of Republicans, and in any effect that should help Democrats appear to be more balanced, a little bit more compassionate on these issues. David Bacon at Pacific News Service has been on our program before, and he has published, as you may know, a very interesting book, The Children of NAFTA, Labor Wars on the U.S.-Mexico Border. And I'm glad to have you back on the program today, David Bacon. How are you?
It's my pleasure to be with you again.
Well, good. Thanks. Just first up, what is your reaction to this activism that started about 3 weeks ago on the Cesar Chavez weekend in Los Angeles?
Well, I think what we're seeing here are ordinary people here coming out into the streets. These are not activists. These are just ordinary working people and families especially. You know, you see young people, children, you see older folks, and you see it everywhere. You know, this is not just New York City or Chicago or Los Angeles, although there have certainly been some enormous demonstrations in those places, but in Charlotte, North Carolina, in Tennessee, in areas where we're just not used to thinking of immigrants as being a large part of the population. And I think that that shows that immigrant people are in all parts of our country now. They are our neighbors, and they are parts of our community where almost wherever you go. And people are coming out of their houses not as a result of some sort of activist urging or as a result of some plot. They're not some threat to us. What they are they are reacting to some of the craziness. I guess that's the only real word I have for it that's going on in Congress these days. And they are feeling so threatened by it that they feel like they have no choice but to come out of their homes and to begin to protest.
Well, and one of the important needs here, David, in my view, is to puncture the myths that are being used to propel this debate. And, you know, for example, one of the broadly broadcast comments is that, well, immigrants are here to do the work that Americans won't do. And
right. I think that's
insulting to both the immigrants and to landed Americans.
I agree with that, too. I think that's insulting to working people generally, because it's a kind of goes back to almost a slavery way of thinking, that certain jobs have a race attached to them or certain jobs have a nationality attached to them. There is no such thing as a Mexican job any more than there is an African-American or a white job. What there are jobs that can pay a decent standard of living and jobs that pay a lot less. And unfortunately, in our economy today in the United States, we have a proliferation of jobs that are really not capable of supporting families, certainly not in a really decent class, you know, a decent working class kind of way. And we also have the elimination of jobs. You know, you look at what General Motors has been doing, or Delphi, talking about closing plants, laying off thousands and thousands of people. You have, you know, the elimination of jobs that were the foundation of, you know, family life for many people in this country. So this is a big economic problem for working people, and we need to find a reasonable solution to it. And part of it, I think, is we need to find a full employment economy, a way of winning a full employment economy here, and forcing the federal government to take some responsibility for jobs. But
and instead of bashing immigrants, legal or otherwise, I think
right.
we need to look at strengthening the position of the American worker with or without labor unions. I happen to be a union guy.
That's right.
But unions don't solve all problems, and they often create some. My interest is in seeing the American workforce earn a living wage, keep the employer-paid health benefits that used to be a part of our standard of living and that have badly eroded in recent years. And we now see that corporate America believes that their pension plans for workers were optional. And
that's right.
That,
that's
sure, right. The CEO, we're going to take care of him. I just flew on an airline that had used the bankruptcy laws to, you know, reduce pensions, reorganize, and to force its number two airline, which was non-union, into the stream of the main airline. I'm talking about Delta and their offspring Song. And I feel badly that, you know, these things are beyond the control of workers, and they are sitting there having to take what is dealt by the corporate titans. And that, of course, is feeding the tension that many Americans feel in the immigration debate. They are so insecure in their own jobs and in their own future and benefits, whether it's health care or pensions, that it becomes easy to buy into the myths that Tom Tancredo and others propel forward.
Well, and here, you know, and I think you described the problem very well. So here we have this enormous problem, and Congress, instead of really trying to do some basic common sense things to try and solve it, instead is doing things which are extremely destructive. So you have, on the one hand, the House of Representatives that passed a bill last December that says that the 12 million people who are here without papers, and again, remember, these are people who are parts of our community all over the country now, as witnessed the demonstrations, that these people should be made into federal felons. In other words, they should be thrown into the criminal justice system, including children, old people, everyone, essentially as a way of sort of forcing them to leave the country. I mean, that's basically what the reason for doing that would be. But on the other hand, you also have the Senate, which before it recessed at the end of last week, almost reached agreement on another very destructive proposal that on the one hand would deport only a million people, as though that was some improvement, but also force both those people, the rest of the undocumented population, to become temporary guest workers, and also would allow the largest U.S. corporations to begin recruiting workers in other countries, not as high-wage employees with, you know, the kind of rights that other workers in this country have, but as temporary workers who would have a very vulnerable, very precarious status, you know, the same kind of status, actually, that all those workers in France are out in the streets protesting about, too.
Right.
So, and this is basically a low-wage labor scheme being put together by the largest U.S. corporations, you know, in their own interest. And one of, I think, the problems of the Democratic Party is that there are many Democrats who are supporting this instead of supporting what I think is a much better plan by one of the most courageous Democrats in Congress, and that's Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, from Houston in Texas, who has, I believe, a real solution to that. But unfortunately, her solution can't really get onto the table in Congress. And at the same time, you know, they're proposing either these guest worker plans or these criminalization plans.
And David Bacon, many corporations have succeeded in imposing two-tier wage systems where senior workers get to hold on to the wages that they have. We now see that General Motors is essentially attempting to turn over its entire manufacturing workforce by buying out the current population. And, of course, their intention is to hire younger people at lower wages with a much weaker benefit package to reduce their costs in the long term. And ultimately, this two-tier wage system translates into the immigration debate as second-class citizens or second-class residents. And to me, that is fundamentally un-American.
Well, it seems I think that it's very important for us right now to remember that immigrant workers in this country don't want to be low-wage workers any more than anybody else does. In fact, you know, a lot of the union organizing that's gone on in the last 15 years has been done by immigrant workers, not by themselves, but in cooperation with the other workers around them. So, again, remember, you know, there's no job that has, you know, a color or a nationality stamped on it. They're just jobs that pay well, and there are jobs that pay poorly. And so immigrants in a lot of the poorly paid jobs here have also been among the people who have tried the hardest to change those conditions. And I think what that says is that given a chance to organize, immigrants will organize too, just like everybody else. I think that is why corporations, instead of wanting people to come here as green card holders, so to speak, or in other words, with residence visas that would allow them to organize and put them on an equal footing with the other workers around them, want these special programs in, that would sort of hold workers in a position of servitude instead. So it's not, I think, that this is what the AFL says, AFL-CIO says. The AFL-CIO says, look, first of all, what we need to do is we need to make sure that the people who are here, all people here, have equal status and rights. And secondly, we need to make sure that the people who come here also have rights and the same status as the other people around them and don't get forced into some kind of second-class citizenship in which large corporations can take advantage of them by imposing kind of substandard wages and conditions on them.
I want to recommend to our listeners that you go to truthout.org, where you can read a commentary by David Bacon entitled, Congress Must Face Reality, Immigrants Want Equality, which I think he just expressed in another way a moment ago. That's at truthout.org. It was posted on Friday, April 7th. As we continue, your calls and comments are welcome. On the Central Coast, it's a local call at 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa, in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hanger One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to Peter Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening. We're talking about the immigration debate in this country. You can join the conversation toll-free, 888-579-2540.
In a very disturbed frame of mind, shall we say, on Thursday night, after it had been announced that they had reached a compromise in the Senate and announced this deal, basically, but before there was a vote taken the following day, right before they went on vacation, in which this measure failed. But unfortunately, I'm afraid that it only failed for procedural reasons. And as soon as the Senate is back in session, in another week and a half, I think this proposal is going to rear its ugly head again. And instead of discussing something, you know, which is much more reasonable, like Jackson Lee's proposal, they're going to be discussing big guest worker programs again.
And the Republican talking point is that it's all Harry Reid's fault, that he wouldn't permit amendments. I heard McCain talking about this the other day. And therefore, that's what created the roadblock. But isn't it more accurate that the president has lost control of his own party? And the real struggle is between McCain, who for once is a moderate, at least in Republican terms, and the hardliners represented by Bill Frist, who's in more in sync with the House bill, the Sensenbrenner bill.
Well, yes, I think that that's true. And I think that that's one reason, at least, why Harry Reid kind of didn't line up Democrats in support of this proposal so that it could pass. And that was that whatever the Senate passes has to go into conference committee and get reconciled with the Sensenbrenner bill. And since there are people in the Senate like Frist, in fact, Frist is the person who would appoint people from the Senate to that conference committee, and he's, as you say, much more in line with the Sensenbrenner bill, this criminalization bill, that, you know, from the point of view of the Democrats, who knows what's going to come out of that conference committee, and it would force Democrats into a position of simply taking an up-and-down vote on whatever the Republicans decide, rather than being able to debate, you know, the various issues that that bill contains. Plus, the Republicans have a reputation these days of in-conference committee on bills, putting into bills things that didn't actually pass through either House the first time around, either the House or the Senate the first time around. So that's a big problem. But
and that pattern extends from the Medicare bill to the energy bill and on down the line. They've been playing fast and loose with their own rules about how the committee process works, and it reached an interesting pitch in the so-called deficit reduction bill that the Republicans jammed through right before Christmas. Merry Christmas to America's poor people. And then it turns out that the two pieces, the Senate and the House bills, do not match. And the president signed a faulty piece of legislation that probably is not law. So that's the extreme that they've gone to with the conference process. Now, David Bacon, one of the things that I see going on in terms of the messaging and the political rhetoric is the far right's attempt to attach the term amnesty to almost anything that gives relief to those who are currently in this country. And I'm not afraid of amnesty. In fact, I think that it makes a whole lot of sense to regulate and regularize the people who are in this country in some form, whether it's a green card or some other form of resident non-citizen, because we have so many people, not just in California, but that's where I'm most familiar, who have to drive to work every day, and because of their status, we won't give them a driver's license. So we have people who are here outside the law, and we force them to conduct their lives in ways that makes them criminals or at least violators on many fronts. The people who don't have driver's licenses largely don't have insurance. And so that is a fundamental risk that we all face every day. And the only practical way, in my view, to deal with that is to grant them a form of amnesty. I'm not afraid of that word. Why is it so loaded?
Well, you know, Republicans have been attempting to do with that word what they did, if you remember back with the word liberal, you know, that this would, or the card-carrying member of the ACLU, you know, I've sort of seen them play this kind of game before. And what they're hoping is that they can create this sort of hot-button word that people won't think about what it means or what lies behind it. So really, what's at issue here is whether or not the people who are here without documents are going to be able to get a regular kind of legal status that will give them the same rights as the people around them. And I think for the reasons that you say and others as well, too, that it's in the overwhelming interest of working people in this country to do that, because when we get divided and we have first and second class kinds of people living here, then, you know, aside from just living in a very unequal society, that, and this is sort of something that we've been fighting against from the civil rights movement on and even before, also these are the kinds of divisions that employers play on when they want to stop people from organizing unions or raising wages. So it hurts everybody, you know, when we have a kind of a unequal status here. So giving people green cards, as you know, Sheila Jackson Lee's bill says, well, okay, if you've been here for 5 years, then you should simply be given a green card in the same way as people were given green cards under Reagan in 1986 when Congress passed the Immigration Reform and Control Act.
Mm-hmm.
That would clear up a lot of the problem. The other part of it, though, of course, is that people are still coming here in part because of the kinds of problems that we discussed the last time I was on your show, free trade and NAFTA and the enforced poverty in Mexico and other countries as a result of this kind of free trade economy. And so ultimately, the long-term solution, clearly, is to have a more is to stop negotiating treaties like NAFTA and mm-hmm. instead concentrating on lifting standards of living in other countries around the world. But
David, let me jump in here because we're tight for time, and I want to add a caller to our conversation. Billy in Capitola, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
First, I wanted to give you a little bulletin board about a film that's on tonight on what's it called? Cinemax.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's called Protocols of Zion. It's a documentary that explores anti-Semitism in the myth that no Jews died on September 11th in the terrorist attacks.
Okay.
A really interesting film made by a friend of mine, 7 o'clock tonight, or actually 4 o'clock if you have the East Coast feed.
Okay.
Here's what I don't understand. The last time I was paying any attention, because, you know, I lose track and I just fog out, I remember that we were talking about Bush committing treason, and now all we talk about is immigration. What happened? Have we been sidetracked again?
It is, I think, being used as a distractor, but it didn't originate in the White House. He brought it up in 2004 and jettisoned it along with the mission to Mars because it wasn't playing well with his base. And it was the Tancredos and Sensenbrenners who really revived it and made it a political issue in this this midterm election year. Billy, I'd love to talk with you further about this. Feel free to call back in the Free Speech Zone next hour. David Bacon, thank you for joining us again. I want to direct people to the commentary you published, truthout.org, on April 7th called Congress Must Face Reality, Immigrants Want Equality. Nice to talk with you again.
It was a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll continue our conversation and talk about the White House leaks.
Hi,
with Jason
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Get up, stand up. Do you care about issues affecting the working men and women of our community? Healthcare, immigration, the warmerization of our economy, social justice issues in general.
If you care, there's a show for you. It's called Labor Matters, hosted by Jose Mendez and myself, Ren Bradley. Please join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon.
Don't give up the fight.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
How much would you pay for a gallon of gas?
Better be prepared to be paying through the nose this summer.
In the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui.
Agony and panic. More September 11th emotion fills the courtroom here. This is Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. A warning today that gas could cost you 25 cents a gallon more this summer than last. It shocked many motorists like this woman in Miami.
$2.95? Crazy.
And the high fuel prices are forcing some hard choices.
The way these gas prices are going, I won't be able to afford it's either rent or gas.
So what's behind it? Guy Caruso's with the Energy Information Center.
So the bottom line is the main factor is increased demand, not only in this country, but on a global basis.
I'm Chris Sullivan at the pumps in Seattle. The price for a gallon of regular has shot up 32 cents in just the last month. It's averaging about $2.70 a gallon.
My other car is a Prius, so I don't notice it too much.
If I need it, I need it. I'm not going to ride a bike or use a scooter.
Washington drivers say they'll keep filling up even if prices pass $3 a gallon.
In fact, experts expect demand to be 15% higher this summer. Now this.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
Now, how can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
Prosecutors in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial have begun what's expected to be an emotional presentation of the last moments of United Flight 93. That's the plane that went down on September 11th in Pennsylvania. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there as air traffic control recordings were played.
Snippets of cries from the cockpit were heard in court. Mayday, mayday, and then shortly afterward, hey, get out of here. An investigator said passengers made at least 37 calls, many of them to loved ones. Many knew that planes had hit the World Trade Center and were convinced their hijacked flight would have a similar fate. Some described the plan to storm the cockpit as she boiled water to throw at the hijackers. Flight attendant Sandra Bradshaw told her husband she loved him, that she knew she was going to die, and that she had to go because everyone was running toward first class.
Former Enron CEO Jeff Skilling said in court today he wasn't capable of cooking up the plans to hide the company's financial losses.
Skilling was asked by his attorney whether he was smart enough to engage in a conspiracy of the magnitude that hit Enron, and he said no. He was asked whether he was motivated by money, and he said no. He was asked whether he could even contemplate committing a crime at Enron, and he said no.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. It's almost tax deadline day, and Bob Orr reports a lot of folks are checking the math.
The IRS will come up $350 billion short. The estimated difference between what taxpayers owe and what they actually pay. But Internal Revenue Service Commissioner Mark Everson says auditors are working harder than ever.
We have definitely stepped up and restored the credibility of the enforcement.
Since 2000, the number of audits has doubled, up to 1.2 million in 2005. And auditors are going after more big money taxpayers, those making more than $100,000 a year.
The IRS is interested in whether some Americans are stashing their money overseas, so it's gone to court to get the online money transfer service PayPal to turn over some information about its customers. PayPal spokeswoman Amanda Pires.
This is part of an ongoing investigation the IRS has to find people in the United States that they believe might be evading taxes. It's the same investigation that they are conducting with other payment companies like Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, First Data.
Pires says her company is evaluating its options. Do you have a weight problem? Apparently most of us aren't willing to admit it, even to ourselves.
Americans see weight problems everywhere but in the mirror.
Paul Taylor of the Pew Research Center, which conducted a survey and found a consistent, everyone's fat but me.
9 out of 10 Americans say that most of their fellow Americans are overweight, but just 4 out of 10 say that they themselves are overweight.
For the record, government statistics show that officially 60% of Americans are overweight. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man, I fell asleep in front of the TV while eating some key lime pie. Now I've got ants.
Probably odorous house ants. They like their sweets.
Well, me too, but now they're full of sugar and they're moving my furniture around.
Wow. Well, they can lift 20 times their weight, but still there must be a lot of ants to move your furniture.
Yeah, and they must know feng shui because even though I don't like them, I'm relaxed enough to just wait till you get here.
Well, you should never have to wait long. So call us now at
1-800-ORKINMAN.
No rush.
XM Satellite Radio is the exclusive satellite radio network for Major League Baseball. And with the new season here, XM radios are available starting at just $50. XM gives you play-by-play for every team, so you can follow your favorite team wherever you are. And XM has America's largest playlist, including the most commercial-free music, plus news, talk, and other live sports. So why wait? Hurry in to stores like Best Buy, Circuit City, or visit XMRadio.com to get XM today. XM Satellite Radio. Listen large. Price after mail-in rebate and may vary by retailer. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Peter B. Collins.
Yes, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Up and down the left coast in California on KRXA 540 Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. KGOE 1480 Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And now in Phoenix. You'll say yes to anything if you believe all this, huh? Our music of the moment is called President Gas. Mid-80s techno pop from the Psychedelic Furs. In this hour, we turn to one of our favorite resources, investigative journalist Jason Leopold, who publishes frequently at truthout.org, and who has been focusing like a laser on the White House cover-up of the smear campaign aimed at Joe Wilson and using his wife, Valerie Plame Wilson's CIA status as a weapon. Jason, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Fine, thanks, Peter. Did you have a good vacation?
I did. It was nice. I unplugged, and I'm still catching up just a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
and I'm catching up on the stories that you have posted at Truth Out. I mean, you're breaking news more often than beer drinkers break wind.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I remember one of the during one of our talks, somebody had called in with a question about President Bush's involvement, and you know, I really did not believe. I truly did not believe, simply because of you know, the direction I was being pointed in, that there was, you know, any involvement or any prior knowledge by the president. So I'm actually, you know, here to say that I was wrong. He in fact was given a heads up before the Valerie Plame's name was printed in the papers.
You know, I have suspected all along that he had knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't have any way of proving that he was directly involved, that he directed or approved of specific actions. But to me, the circumstantial evidence is the that long plane flight from Washington to Africa, which I believe was 2 days after Wilson's op-ed piece had been published in the New York Times, which was the trigger point for the real aggressive tactics. Now, you and other reporters have established that the campaign to discredit Wilson goes all the way back to March of 2003. But it really, reached a critical point there after the op-ed in the Times. And that's where my belief was that the president had to have learned about it, because you couldn't spend 8 or 10 hours on a flight to Africa, pass around these memos that clearly indicated that the information about Valerie Plame was classified, and that they wouldn't bother to say, hey, W, what do you think?
Yeah.
Should we smash this bug?
And I agree. And, you know, I was really focusing on the vice president's office simply because of the March 2003 effort by Dick Cheney and Scooter Libby and others, and the obsession that they had with discrediting Joe Wilson. And, you know, last week when the special prosecutor filed the additional motion in court, regarding the discovery material that Libby's camp wants to obtain, I have to say that the revelation in there really blew me away, because it was I absolutely did not expect it. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes it's right there in front of your face, but, you know, it's, you know, I was working a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, when, you know, when I, after following that story and just reading this filing, which is just fascinating because it really just gives more background material about what went on. You know, I literally spent 4 days on the phone, and I actually met with Joe Wilson last week here in L.A., and just, you know, going after the story and realizing that, you know, that he was, President Bush was briefed about this early on in June 2003, you know, prior to the leak of the National Intelligence Estimate. And that's sort of the key focus here in the story. It's that, you know, I was, as, you know, this story has so many different angles, so many tentacles, if you will, that, you know, the National Intelligence Estimate, declassifying that, to which I had actually written about, you know, I wrote a story a couple weeks ago about Bob Woodward being one of the first to receive that information. But I didn't, you know, realize that it's, you know, the president was, you know, gave the okay to that. So, this is, you know, I'm told, actually, that there's going to be a lot more information that's going to come out via these court filings. And, you know, I did say a while back that I know, you know, this thing is going to heat up, and sure enough, it is. So,
Jason, let's take a moment here, because in the next segment I want to go into detail on the article entitled Bush at Center of Intelligence Leak that was posted on the 6th of April. But I've had the opportunity to meet Ambassador Joe Wilson on a number of occasions. I've interviewed him maybe half a dozen times. And I am extremely impressed with him. And it's important to note, and he does this in his public speaking engagements, that he's a Republican, that that's his background. He was a Bush 1 supporter. He was the last diplomat standing in Baghdad prior to so-called liberation of Kuwait in 1991. And he was, you know, a very, he dealt with the issue when Saddam was holding Americans and others as hostages and calling them human shields that he would use to protect sensitive locations from aerial attacks by the U.S. or its so-called coalition. There actually was a coalition in the first Gulf War. But tell me your measure of Joe Wilson.
You know, he was at Cal State Northridge last week, California State University in Northridge, speaking to about, say, 500 college students and professors, and he is such a, you know, such a, well, he's actually incredibly intelligent, has it really, you know, listen to him speak. He's not a a partisan individual. He's a guy that really, really, you know, cares about this country, cares about things that are happening in our government, and really wants to, you know, hold people accountable for things that are, you know, twisting the intelligence, if you will. He, you know, he spoke about things that needed to be done right now in terms of the Iraq War. You know, why we're seeing these, you know, the uprising or a potential civil war. And he's speaking from experience. You know, he's a guy who was, like you said, he was there. He saw firsthand. You know, what was going on. And, you know, when I heard him speak, I really just felt that, you know, here's a person who's not, you know, I didn't get the feeling that he was, you know, a staunch Republican, if you will, but I also didn't get the feeling that he was, you know, a Democrat. This was a person who simply felt that, you know, he said, actually, I'm going to use his words, he actually said that for 4 or 5 months he wrestled with the idea of actually writing this op-ed that came out in the New York Times, because he spent those months speaking to State Department officials, to Senate committees. He, you know, had word passed over to Condoleezza Rice to try to get to let the administration know, hey, you've got to correct the record. This is wrong. I was there. You're not telling the full story. You're not telling the truth. And you know, that really struck me that. The reason it struck me is because, as the reporter, you know, I get it. You know, you feel that, you know, that the administration is not telling the truth, and you want to expose it. And that's exactly what I want to do. You know, when I'm reporting and when I'm digging up this stuff, is that I want to expose, you know, the administration for, you know, for lying to people. So I personally feel that if it was a Democrat in office, I would do the same thing. And that's what it, you know, what I took away from him, is that this was a person who just really cared about, you know, what was going on in the world.
I agree, and he loves the United States of America.
He really, you know, he really does, and that's you know, he's very, he does not strike me as somebody who, you know, is saying, you know, it's just the Democrats. This is, you know, he's not partisan.
To paint him as a lackey of his CIA wife, and that he was only dispatched on this because of that marital connection, is just silly. Because he had the standing as a former ambassador to two African nations and his experience in Baghdad. So far, I can't think of anybody better suited to go check out the phony report that Saddam was trying to get uranium from Niger. Jason, we got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment. Jason Leopold, our guest. And if you have a question or comment about the White House leaks and the president's involvement, get on the line now. Central Coast, a local call, 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. Jason Leopold's with us this entire hour, so join the conversation here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2-1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. R.J. will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join R.J. Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. RXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. Here she is, Metro Diane.
We have an injury accident in San Juan Bautista. San Juan Highway at Prescott Road, vehicle actually overturned and landed in a ditch. So emergency crews are on scene for that. Also an injury accident in Greenfield at the Royal Seco Road at Elm Avenue. Propane truck actually hit a tree there, so emergency crews on scene working on clearing that one out as well. We have a stalled vehicle in Castroville. It's Castroville Boulevard at Highway 156. Big rig stuck in the mud there. It is partially in the lane, so keep your eyes open for that. Also some debris in the roadway in Salinas. Blanco Road at Davis Road. This report is brought to you by Preparation H. Preparation H relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H relief ever. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back in about a half an hour. Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning right here on KRXA. The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble.
And you may ask yourself, like David Byrne of the Talking Heads, how did we get here?
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat
to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It has sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
Chemical
bombers.
Chemical weapons are equally chosen.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
Cheney, Powell, Rumsfeld, Rice, Bush. Their pre-war statements were riddled with errors. And if you take a darker view, they were lying through their teeth. And we know more now from the memos leaked from Downing Street that in the pre-war meeting, January 30th or so, 2003, that Bush made it very clear that he was going to go to war, whether they found WMD or not, and inferred that they didn't think there really were any in Iraq. We pick it up there with Jason Leopold, who writes ably for truthout.org, and we're talking about some of his recent articles. And Jason, just before we dive into this, I want to mention that today at Truthout, one of your colleagues, Larry Johnson, has published a very helpful timeline for this whole story, because I know it is confusing to people, and they say, well, so what if they leak the name, you know? But it really does put it in context.
Yeah.
And essentially, there are nine key events originating with February of 2002.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have to say that the people who say or the individuals out there are saying, you know, who cares? This is such, you know, this is such an important event it's outrageous that people wouldn't care, because this is the government showing that it will do whatever it wants to do for its own political gain. That's one of the things Joe Wilson was talking about last week, that it, you know, they have demonstrated that they'll do whatever they feel like they can or want, and because they know that they can get away with it. And it's that attitude about who cares that allows them to continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when you trace this whole issue back to February 2002, and probably even late 2001, what you come away with is that this is all about the justification for war. And, you know, that's what people really need to, you know, to look at. Because when it comes down to it, it's not just about leaking her name or leaking this portion of the National Intelligence Estimate. It's leaking it to two reporters who were proven themselves, Bob Woodward and Judith Miller of the New York Times, who have proven that they would carry, that they were sympathetic to the administration, that, you know, they would take their information and reprint it, and they were picked for this. So, you know, we'll get some folks saying, calling this an authorized disclosure. Now we have a new definition for the word leak, authorized disclosure. You know, Bill Clinton is probably laughing right now because it depends on what the definition of is, you know.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What this really comes down to. So,
well, and Rush and little Sean Hannity and all those other clones must be really PO'd that they were not chosen to deliver the leak. They used Judy Miller and, you know, a guy, Matthew Cooper from Time Magazine. Now, Jason, taking some pains to separate the way that Bush told Cheney to declassify the National Intelligence Estimate related to Niger and leak it to Judy Miller, which, of course, was a leak of lies, because they were misrepresenting the information that was actually in that NIE. Separate that from the Wilson track. We know now that the president apparently did declassify that document and instruct the vice president and the White House Iraq group to leak it. Do we know of any crossover of the president's involvement into the Wilson Plame smear effort?
No. And that is, and after last week, after, you know, I got up at 6 a.m. last Thursday and just, you know, put this story together based on the filing, and then just, you know, quickly rushed to, you know, speak with my sources regarding, you know, about the meeting with the president. No, there's no, so far, and these folks have copies of, testimony, not grand jury testimony, but, in an interview that the president gave in 2004. And there's certainly no there were questions asked about what he knew about Valerie Plame. And then, you know, I have to tell you that I did not see these the transcripts, but it was read to me over the phone, and he just said he knew nothing about it. He knew nobody in his administration or in his office that was responsible for it. And he also said that he absolutely frowned upon quote unquote selective leaks. You know, I have to say at this point, I think that anything is possible. You know, it's something that I will say that, you know, I'm definitely, you know, trying to track as far as following the story to see if it does lead back to Bush. I think that would be one of the, you know, biggest revelations are out there. But, you know, I have to be honest, Peter, that one of the problems I have right now is as an independent reporter, as a, you know, working on a much smaller scale than those reporters over at the Washington Post or the New York Times, and sort of taking a little bit of a beating right now for the story I put out yesterday, simply because it's, you know, it's obviously led to something, but, you know, people are sort of questioning now whether it's, you know, whether I can be trusted.
All right, well, we'll get to that in the next segment, but I have to say that your batting record so far is pretty strong on this.
Well, I appreciate that.
And if, you know, you have sources who've intentionally misled you, or, you know, you're only able to get partial information, this is an evolving story. You're unraveling a cover-up.
It is.
And in that process, there are a lot of little techniques they can use to divert your attention and try to send you in the wrong direction. If that happens, you appear to be honest enough to admit it.
Yeah.
So we'll pick up there as we continue. Jason Leopold, our guest. You can join us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX, an impressive subcompact station wagon that's well-engineered and attractively priced. With a fuel-injected 2.3-liter four-cylinder engine and a five-speed manual transmission, this little car is quick off the line and has plenty of passing power. It handles well, has a smooth suspension, and is very well equipped for the price. Power windows, mirrors and locks, plus air conditioning and cruise control, all standard. With a transferable 100,000 miles, 7-year warranty, this is a great low-price car that competes with Honda, Kia, and Hyundai. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Aereo SX gets 25 mpg in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $15,000. Behind the Wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has another exciting show this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Her provoking theme for the day is, Can You Choose a Better Life? You'll enjoy the questions, the challenges, and surprises. Hear how the author of Authentic Happiness had his whole life turned around at 50 by what his 5-year-old daughter said to him. You'll want to hear what's actually documented about what makes a happy life. Joan's guests are Harvey Kaplan, M.D., who has a successful psychotherapeutic practice in San Francisco, and Deborah Jenkins, who's a personal coach and author of Massive Abundance. You'll hear about what breaks your heart, what mends it, where does fear come from, how do we handle it, why are so many adults getting diagnosed ADD and ADHD? Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. All her shows are archived at joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, our newest affiliate. I saw a face in the shower door. A cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it was exactly where I'd laid it. And we continue our weekly report from Jason Leopold. We expanded him to an hour this week because there is so much to talk about in the Plamegate, the Wilson smear effort coming out of the White House. And, Jason, I want to read three items here, two
sure.
from you and one from Bart Gellman's article in the Washington Post.
Okay.
First up, Leopold. The officials, some of whom are attorneys close to the case, added that more than 24 emails that the vice president's office said it recently discovered and handed over to leak investigators in February show that President Bush was kept up to date about the circumstances surrounding the effort to discredit former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. And you go on. The sources indicated that the leak probe is now winding down and that soon new information will emerge from the special counsel's office that will prove President Bush had prior knowledge of the White House campaign to discredit Plame Wilson's husband, who accused the administration of twisting intelligence on the Iraqi threat in order to win public support for the war. And then to the Washington Post, and this was syndicated today, bluntly and repeatedly, Fitzgerald, the prosecutor, placed Cheney at the center of that campaign. Citing grand jury testimony from the vice president's former chief of staff, Scooter Libby, Fitzgerald fingered Cheney as the first to voice a line of attack that at least three White House officials would soon deploy against former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Now, when we put these two items together, we come back to what old-timers like me remember from Watergate. What did the president know?
Exactly.
And when did he know it? And how does that square with his public statements?
Exactly.
Denying any knowledge and wondering if the leaker would ever be found.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Is like now when you go back and you look at October 2003, when he, when President Bush and Scott McClellan had that press conference, and the president, first of all, at that press conference, that's where they, you know, cleared Karl Rove and Scooter Libby from any, you know, being involved in the leak. And then the president saying, you know, this is a town full of leakers. I don't know if the leaker will ever be found. You guys do, you guys, meaning the news organizations, do such a great job of protecting the leaker. You know, when you go back and read those statements by the president, it suddenly takes on a new meaning. Because it does, it sort of suggests, like, wow, was he really, he knew something.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I come away with.
And
I really
same,
think that those statements are much more telling now mm-hmm. than they were 2 weeks ago.
And in the same article, a little bit later, you write,
According to four attorneys who over the last 2 days have read a transcript of the interview with investigators, Bush did not disclose to either investigators or the special counsel that he had authorized Cheney or any other administration official to leak portions of that NIE to Woodward and Miller or any other reporter. So this, to me, is a, I'm not a lawyer, but a prima facie case
right.
of obstruction of justice, if not perjury.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he wasn't under a sworn, he wasn't under sworn oath, or I'm getting the words.
All right, but tell that to Martha Stewart.
Exactly, exactly. And the thing is that, you know, it's still, would that ever happen? I highly doubt it, to be honest with you. I don't think that, you know, that Patrick Fitzgerald is going to be taking down George Bush. I have to say, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But,
well, on the positive side, Arlen Specter is trying to chide the president publicly into just coming clean
right.
and telling what
right.
he knows. Now, that's a very interesting gambit on Specter's part, because he should be smart enough to read between the lines here and see, well, gosh, if the president actually...
they weren't involved. They had nothing to do with this. But at the same time, you know, the president was being asked about what he knew about this leak. He certainly didn't say, well, you know, there was a critics out there, and I decided that this was in the, you know, public interest or what have you, you know, to put this out there.
And what did you think yesterday? You know, they've really relaxed their handling of the president, and they're letting people ask him questions now. It's quite remarkable in contrast to the first 5 years of this administration.
Sure.
But at Johns Hopkins yesterday, a testy questioner put the president on the spot, and of course he ducks any questions about the Wilson plane smear by saying falsely that he
right.
can't comment on an ongoing investigation.
Sure.
He could talk about it any time he wants to. He
of
simply chooses
he
not to.
Okay.
But what about the non-answer that he gave in relation to the NIE that was fed to Judy Miller?
Yeah, first of all, he can certainly talk about it, because he wasted no time speaking about Tom DeLay when he was under investigation. So, you know, and it's also interesting that a student happened to have asked that question, not anyone in the press corps, but, you know, the answer seems to be that of a sort of, you know, a legal answer, if you will. Well, I authorized it to be declassified, and he, you know, was speaking about July 18th, 2003, when it was, you know, declassified for everyone. I believe that clearly the fact that he didn't even come out and say, you know, this is absolutely wrong, I don't know where this is getting this from, I never said anything, well, that says a lot. That says that there's a lot more information to be found. And, you know, we'll go a step further. You know, when he was being asked about Seymour Hersh's article about, you know, a potential preemptive strike against Iran.
It was wild speculation.
Wild speculation. He said it three times. Wild
right.
speculation. Well, okay, and there you go. That's not a denial either. I think that you really have to look and pay attention to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I mean, it's not fact, but it just says that, well, something's going on. There's a lot more.
That was the TPOD talking point of the day. If you look at the transcript of Scott McClellan's press briefing, Helen Thomas grilled him on the Hersh article, and
right.
he used a wild speculation about six times in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Richard joins us from Eureka. Hello, Richard.
Hello, gentlemen. Good to
Hi
be
there,
on
Richard.
The show again. Listen, I have a couple quick questions here for you. How much water does the president's explanation that he declassified this information so therefore it wasn't a leak, how much water does that hold?
Repeat that. How much water
does it hold that he declassified this and therefore it is not a leak of classified material?
Well, you know, it holds zero water, because it was not distributed or declassified to an entire press corps. It was given to two reporters, June 27th, 2003, Bob Woodward, July 8th, Judy Miller. So that's a leak. That's when you selectively choose, you know, who you want to have the information. It would be the same thing when, you know, if you were to prepare a press release. And, you know, you gave it to one reporter and said, hey, you know, you get this first. You're leaking it. You're leaking that information.
Okay.
You know, this is exactly how the White House operates. It's a game of semantics. It's not an authorized disclosure. It's a friggin' leak.
Okay.
You know?
Has the administration provided any evidence as to on what date? Was it before this July date in 03 that the president quote-unquote declassified this, or, I mean, have they provided any information as to when it was actually declassified?
That's a good question.
No, that's a great
Richard,
question.
And Jason, it appears to me that they did this in a cavalier and kind of offhand way. It appears the president just said, well, yeah, I'll declassify that. Go ahead, Cheney.
Yeah,
okay,
and in fact,
paper.
You know, that's been one of the big questions here, is that people are wondering, does the president really have the authority to just wave a magic wand and say, hey, you declassify it?
So there's no paper trail for that, or any signings or anything like that when it was declassified?
As far as I can tell so far, in mid-June 2003, between June 17th and the 20th, I don't know if there's any actual documented paper, you know, something on paper where he signed it, but that's when he told Cheney, after Cheney told him what was going on regarding Joe Wilson, said, okay, you can share it. And they had already handpicked, or I should say it wasn't the president who handpicked, but it was Cheney and Libby who handpicked Bob Woodward and Judith Miller. So the president was absolutely told that there's a problem with Joe Wilson, because Joe Wilson had already come. He was on the radar screen already, but what they were worried about is that there was information that they were getting that he was going to go public, that he was going to write something that was going to cause a lot of problems for them, and that was the op-ed.
Okay, one last question for you here. Can Fitzgerald expand this investigation in any way, shape, or form? Does he have that kind of power as a special prosecutor?
Sure.
Is he an actual special prosecutor like... what's his name from the Clinton years?
The answer is no. He is
Kenneth Starr is what you're talking about?
Yeah, that legislation expired. What
right.
we have is a special appointment because the attorney general properly recused himself
right.
from this prosecution, and so he selected the DA from Chicago.
What he can do, if he gathers the evidence that proves, as an example, that there was a conspiracy and that Scooter Libby was part of that, what he can do then is issue a superseding indictment, which the grand jury would, you know, look at and either approve and hand up charges, and the charges would be amended to include that. So.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Let's hope he does that. You guys have a good day.
You
good
too.
Questions,
bye-bye.
Richard. It's really fascinating to see how closely people are following these issues, Jason. We're going to take a break and continue.
Sure.
If you have a question or comment for Jason Leopold, there's still room for your call. Central Coast local call 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, it's toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment with Jason Leopold. Read his work at truthout.org and read his powerful and personal memoir, News Junkie. It's out at your independent and other bookstores right now. We'll continue right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi. Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 with an update on your drive home. We check traffic with Metro Diane.
We have a new accident coming through for Santa Cruz. It's southbound one before Morrissey Boulevard. Two vehicles on the right-hand shoulder. Santa Cruz northbound 1 at 17, we have a two-vehicle accident. This one is reportedly blocking lanes, so keep your eyes open for that. And an injury accident in Santa Cruz County, Highway 1 at Coast Road. Vehicle went off the roadway and down an embankment. Also an injury accident in San Juan Bautista, San Juan Highway at Prescott Road. A vehicle overturned and landed in a ditch, so emergency crews are on scene, been on scene for quite a while, working on clearing that one up. Also, keep your eyes open. Ben Lomond, southbound Highway 9 at Glen Arbor Road. Southbound lanes are blocked by mud and rocks there. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up a Valvoline conventional motor oil for only $1.99 per quart. Napa gets the good stuff. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Are Bush's pants on fire? We continue our conversation with Jason Leopold. As we mentioned, he writes powerful investigative stories that you can read online at truthout.org. And now let's turn to your post from yesterday, April 10. And you told me a little earlier that you've been getting some pushback on this. Describe first what you wrote and then what people are challenging.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you've been able to hear my voice this week, Peter, but I'm a little fired up here. I had spent pretty much the weekend and the better part of the end of last week, you know, putting together this story about what happened. How did President Bush become involved in this? And, you know, and I tapped into those sources again, and I got this great story together about June 2003, when Vice President Cheney had called a meeting with the president that was attended by Andrew Card. Cheney was there, Condoleezza Rice, Stephen Hadley, and Karl Rove, and what they were doing was they were briefing the president on Iraq war critic Ambassador Joseph Wilson, and the fact that he was soon going to go public with what he knew about the Niger uranium allegations. And they needed to respond to it and how to do that. And that was, and during this meeting, they also had, Cheney had said that, you know, his wife, Valerie Plame, set him up on this trip. Mm-hmm. And we need people to respond to that. Now, I want to make it very clear. I don't have any evidence, and I didn't report that President Bush authorized the leak or, authorized the leak of Valerie Plame's name, but he was certainly told who she was, and he knew who she was, and he knew that the vice president his vice president, our vice president, was hands-on involved in this campaign to discredit him, to discredit Joe Wilson. And he also knew that, you know, the other players, you know, Condoleezza Rice was there, Stephen Hadley, Andrew Card, head of the White, you know, put together this White House Iraq group.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I put that story together, and it really made a, you know, made quite of an impact yesterday. You know, it came out around the same time that the New York Times had reported that a senior administration official had, you know, said that, yes, President Bush did authorize the leak of the National Intelligence Estimate, that portion in there. And, you know, what's important about that is that it goes back again to, you know, Joe Wilson. This was really, other than the International Atomic Energy Association,
mm-hmm.
who had already said that these documents were forgeries, and Dick Cheney responded, well, you know, frankly, I don't believe anything that Mohammed El-Baradei says, you know, I think they're wrong. This was the only real threat was Joe Wilson, because Joe Wilson was, you know, he had personal knowledge of this. So that was the story that I put together yesterday, was that what did the president know and when did he know it? And in June 2003, he knew that there were going to be problems, that there were these were potential, you know, big problems
mm-hmm.
that would really impact the administration, and that it would cause it would hurt their credibility.
Mm-hmm.
There were no weapons of mass destruction that were found at that point.
Right.
And then you know, there's a bit of a backlash right now. People who, you know, obviously it's quite a big story to, you know, go out there and accuse the president of, you know, being in the know of this.
Yeah, who do you think you are, Helen Thomas?
Right, I don't know. You know, I seriously, that's something my dad would probably say. not the Helen Thomas part,
okay.
But you know, so the story sort of had some time to stew in people's minds. And you know, we're in a new technology age, and you know, the blogs have such, you know, have so much power. They really could, you know, do great things. And then there's, you know, others who are saying, like, Jason Leopold, who is this guy? First they say, who is this guy? And then they find out. And it's funny, I was actually, you know, telling Matt Renner over there that,
my producer, mm-hmm.
yeah, your producer, that, you know, whatever they're saying, it's like you're a little too late. I've already written a book about all this. You know? I said much worse than what you guys are saying.
You've inoculated yourself.
Yeah.
Let me read a couple of lines here. A more aggressive effort would come a week or so later. This is after the first meeting you just described.
Right.
When Cheney, who sources said was consumed with retaliating against Wilson, met with President Bush a second time and told the president there was talk of Wilson going public and exposing the flawed Niger intelligence. Now, I can just imagine, and this is pure speculation, but the president saying, yeah, get him.
Right. You
and
know,
not going into detail about how or what or, you know, what kind of methods to use or leaks or anything
sure.
like that, but just a simple, okay, rough him up. You
yeah.
know, it's the equivalent
yeah.
of break his legs.
Well, it's funny because there's that, I'm not sure, maybe it is Bob Woodward's book, when there's that, you know, talk about the president peeking in to some meeting and saying, we're going to go get the, you know, the SOB or something like that. And I think he was referring to, you know, Saddam Hussein or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been Paul O'Neill or Richard Clark, for all we know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, you could sort of picture the president. You can picture President Bush saying that it would certainly fit his, you know, his personality and you know, his swagger.
Right. Let's take a call here. We got Paula in Eureka. Thanks for holding, Paula. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Hey, guys, and welcome back. Peter B., your voice sounds a little more arrested.
Oh, I'm feeling great.
Yeah, well, I had read a few weeks ago on one of the sites that there had been a concerted effort to try to get Mr. Fitzgerald off of the case. By Mr. Libby's defense team, and then I never heard anything more about that. And so I was wondering if
okay,
Jason?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Paula, the Libby's attorneys were they're actually, you know, right now saying that, you know, they made a court filing saying that in fact The Attorney General, or Acting Attorney General James Comey at the time, he's going against his duty by appointing the special prosecutor. In a nutshell, in plain English, they're basically trying to say he has no authority. He should never have been appointed. The charges should be dropped. Let's get rid of him. And that seems to be very, again, they're trying to do everything in their power to, you know, circumvent the case from moving forward. So what's going on right now is that Patrick Fitzgerald, is just basically preparing a response to that.
Mm-hmm.
Libby's attorneys did request a hearing between the attorney general, an evidentiary hearing. They want to know what Fitzgerald and Comey responded to. But I believe that Judge Walton, who's presiding over this, is just going to dismiss that.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the call, Paula. And Jason, thank you for your work. Let's talk again next week. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about.
Thanks, and have a good week.
The gift that keeps on giving. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. We take your calls, any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. I'm Peter B.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Doing this summer won't be cheap. Gas prices sure aren't now, but the government says this summer a gallon will cost you 25 cents more than it did a year ago.
It's crazy. That's what it is. It's crazy. You got to work to pay for gas now.
CBS's Anthony Mason says he's not alone.
It's getting ugly at the pump again.
$2.95? It's crazy.
$3 a gallon in some parts of the country, and it looks like it's here to stay.
The way these gas prices are going, I won't be able to afford it's either rent or gas.
With crude oil again close to $70 a barrel, the Department of Energy today forecast the average price of gas this summer will be 25 cents a gallon higher than a year ago.
The government blames high demand for gas both here and worldwide. Iran says it needs new sources of energy. And today its president announced it has successfully enriched uranium to the level used in nuclear power plants. But is that all Iran plans on using it for? The White House is concerned, and today a spokesperson said it's proof Iran is moving in the wrong direction. Moving testimony at the sentencing trial of 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. CBS's Jim Stewart was in the courtroom and heard...
The government played a call to flight controllers in which the pilots of Flight 93 were apparently reacting to the hijackers as they burst into the cockpit. Mayday, 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 a voice yelled, hey, get out of here. Prosecutors also expect to play the cockpit voice recorder, which they recovered from the wreckage of Flight 93. The government says it suggests passengers were on the verge of taking the plane back when it turned belly up and dove into a Pennsylvania farm field.
The prosecution's expected to wrap up its case tomorrow. Just in, a jury in Bloomington, Illinois, has found Maurice LeGrown guilty in the drowning deaths of his then girlfriend's three young children. Yesterday, lawyers for those Duke University lacrosse players accused of rape said DNA evidence proved no link. Today, the prosecutor said this.
My presence here means that this case is not going away.
College student says she was attacked by several players last month at a house party. CBS's Trish Regan visited her school and says...
Students here at North Carolina Central University are angry. They feel that somehow the power and the privilege of Duke University is perhaps shielding these students.
At the Washington National season opener, Vice President Dick Cheney came out to throw the first pitch and didn't get much of a warm welcome. He was booed. The pitch, incidentally, bounced in front of the plate. What a lousy day on Wall Street. The Dow fell nearly 52 points in trading today. Not great over at the NASDAQ either. It dropped about 23 points. This is CBS News.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Karen, open-toed shoes?
I know.
Your feet, they look beautiful.
I know.
But your toenails used to be so... I'm sorry, but they looked ugly.
I know. I tried something new to improve them. Dr. Scholl's Fungal Nail Management Kit. It has a revitalizer that made my toenails look better in just 1 week.
1 week? That's so fast.
I know. Trust me. If you want to improve the appearance of your nails in just 1 week, look for Dr. Scholl's Fungal Nail Management Kit in the green box. Use as directed.
What does your personal soundtrack include? In the case of the country, they've just added a few old but very important tracks.
But first, are you experienced?
Jimi Hendrix makes this list.
Well, that'll be the day.
As does Buddy Holly. And Count Basie. They are among 50 recordings that the Library of Congress says are worthy of preservation this year. My personal favorite, however, is the kids' song, Tubby the Tuba, written in 1946.
He was a fat little tuba puffing away.
Brendan Hazelton for CBS News, Washington. The benefits of prunes are known for, well, pretty much one thing. But in London, it's been revealed prunes were supposed to assist in a different kind of exit. An auction house is selling off two gnarly-looking prunes that were supposed to be stuffed with maps and documents and smuggled to prisoners of World War II. I'm Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. My phone lines are wide open. This is what we call the free speech zone.
Colors on the street. Red, white, and blue. People shuffling their feet. People sleeping in their shoes. There's a warning sign on the road. There's a lot of people saying we'd be better off.
Yes, there he is, the minstrel of the Santa Cruz Mountains. Neil Young, keep on rocking in the free world as long as we're free and as long as the First Amendment is in full effect. I'm Peter B., your humble host, and my lines are open. If you want to talk about any issue in the news from any viewpoint, you are welcome to call the program. We do not screen out calls based on topic or your point of view. So feel free to give us a call right now. When you dial in, Matt Renner picks up the line and puts you on hold. And when your name's up on the screen, then I can take your call. On the Central Coast, dial us up at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. If you're listening in Eureka or Phoenix or anywhere else online, you can call us toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And for our new listeners in Phoenix on KPHX, just wanted to let you know that you're hearing our program in the nighttime, and it originates every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. And during our last hour, 5 o'clock Pacific time, which is the same as daylight time in Arizona, you can reach us on the toll-free line and feel free to call and express yourself. The number again is 888-579-2540. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com, and that's the same website where you can find archive programs, links to our live streams, and stuff like that, peterbcollins.com. Two issues that I want to present, and then we'll go right to your calls and get your thoughts on whatever is on your mind. We talked earlier today with David Bacon about the immigration debate in this country, and I'd like to make just a couple of simple points. As I mentioned to David Bacon, I'm one of these people who is not afraid of the word amnesty. And I think it's the only practical solution. We are not going to deport tens of thousands or even millions of undocumented people who are residing in this country. It simply will not happen, and the kind of police state tactics that would be required to effect such a move are well beyond the tolerance of the American people. There's also a very practical issue. That is, every one of us benefits from undocumented workers in this country. Whether it's lower cost of dinner, lower cost of lettuce at the supermarket, you know why. And so we are all part and parcel of this equation. And if we really want to solve the problem, I believe we should give amnesty, or if you want to use a euphemism, we should regularize all the people who are currently in the country. Give them a green card, a blue card, any kind of card you want. But I want them to come out from under the shadows. I want them to be able to get a driver's license. I want them to be able to get health care, and not just at the emergency room when there's a medical crisis for an individual and the costs are highest and the costs are often borne by American taxpayers. If we regularize these people, they can have a driver's license. They can drive a car that has insurance. They can qualify and come out from the shadows and get health insurance either through an employer or through some other plan, and they would be far less of a burden as is currently perceived, and their contributions would be, I think, more widely visible and therefore recognized. It would also be good for them because at this point the illegals pay into Social Security, their payroll taxes are withheld, and most of them never recover the refund that is due to them or access the benefits, such as Social Security, that they have contributed toward. And so if we simply approach this in a rational way and acknowledge that those who are here will continue to be here, I think we can go a lot further than trying to demonize and criminalize their presence. Now, that said, I do support the notion for both security and immigration reasons to do our best to seal our borders. And that means all borders, not just with Mexico. I'm talking about Canada, and I'm talking about our massive coastlines east and west. That's not an easy task. But if we really take to heart the need to secure our nation, not just from a few people who are trying to come here to work, but from those who really have, you know, dark intentions, well, that can be part of an overall program. And I would also be willing to entertain a moratorium on new immigration for a year or two after amnesty or regularization in order to let that sift out and evaluate it to see what reasonable levels of legal immigration would be, either in a guest worker program or just in general immigration. And finally, I think we need to raise wages, both for undocumented workers in the United States and for the average worker in Mexico and other Central and South American countries. And that's going to cost you and me more money for our burritos, for our lettuce, and almost everything else that depends on this cheap labor source. Are you willing to pay more? That's my question to you today. There's another topic I want to bring up, but let's go to the phones. And I'll mention that in a few minutes. First up is Dave in Humboldt. Welcome to the show today, Dave. How are you?
Really great, Peter. And yourself?
Not bad, thanks.
I know that you sometimes listen to the Tom Hartman Show, which your station airs there, but did you by chance today?
No, I wasn't able to. I was in meetings this morning.
Oh, well, and maybe I'll be sharing something with you. Matt was unfamiliar with it also, and I'm not able to find it elsewhere. But Tom, who's pretty credible, came out saying that George Bush supplied to his good friend Berlusconi in Italy several voting machines to be used in precincts which he thought he was going to do have a real hard time in.
Hmm.
And as you may know, the vote did close very much. It was about 8 million less votes went to the opponent than was anticipated. So that'd be an interesting story if indeed this has happened. And
well, I would love to learn more about that. And, of course, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com is our go-to guy on voting machine issues. So I'll drop him an email and see if he has a line on that. The one thing that makes me a little skeptical, Dave, is that the preliminary voting reports showed Berlusconi being beaten by 0.1%. And so, to me, if he was going to use Bush's machines to steal the election, he would have given himself a more comfortable margin.
Well, no, he didn't. He didn't. The machines were made available to Berlusconi himself, and Berlusconi was anticipated to be defeated by more than 8 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened to cause that to close him considerably.
To close the gap, I see.
So my guess is that the machines were actually used. I know Tom's usually, he wouldn't say it if you didn't have that.
I agree.
Where he got it, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I did talk to Tom Hartman this afternoon about some other stuff, so I'll drop him an email and ask him for sources on that, too.
Yeah, that'd be great. Now, I want also to mention here in Humboldt County, up at the university, we're going to be having a meeting tonight. For all those people that are concerned about these voting machines and the effect they'd have and what we might do about that.
Where is it at Humboldt State?
Oh, God, I should be able to tell you. It's in Tom Seaborn of KGOE has been speaking of it, and I'm going over with the Cubs because I don't know where I'm going.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, if you find out or if somebody else does, give us a call or drop us an email, and we'll put that info on the air.
Will do.
All right. Thanks for checking in. We've got Josh and Salinas next. Hello, Josh. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. You just said, if we had higher wages, we'd have to pay more. In the last presidential campaign, the far left think tanks floated the idea that we could raise the gas tax so that we might be able to slow down global warming, we might be able to increase conservation and reduce our dependence on foreign oil if we punch gas up to $3 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw $3 a gallon gas yesterday while I was driving my Prius home.
And if it's any consolation, I just came back from the East Coast and they're paying about the same. It was $2.89 when I filled up my rental car in New York the other day.
Yeah, so here's what happened. We refused to take control of the situation. We just said, well, we'll keep on wasting, and what will happen will happen. What will happen is the oil companies are posting record profits. At the same time, we're subsidizing them to the tune of billions of dollars. We had to pay for a $2 trillion war, which was supposedly about other stuff, but was really about oil and profits. If we had imposed a gas tax, we could have subsidized alternative energy. We could have solar panels on everyone's roof. We could be putting up windmills. We could be reducing pollution. Instead, we're subsidizing the lifestyles of stockholders.
Yes, we are.
And
they are extracting not just oil, but egregious profits from the American people right now.
In our political process.
Yeah.
So I say it pays to plan ahead. It pays to design systems where you can't win by polluting, where you can't win by wasting, where you win by saving.
Well, there are a lot of great people with great ideas like that. Unfortunately, they are not members of the Republican-controlled House Energy Committee, and so their ideas don't get heard or evaluated. There are a lot of great ideas that people have put forward about just what you said, about increasing the cost at the pump, using those taxes for beneficial purposes. And yet, you know, we have been driven by bottom-line thinking, and as long as the Republicans enjoy one-party rule in Washington, well, it's even with a Prius, you're going to be spending much more than you had anticipated for just your basic needs, automotive and transportation needs. I got to run to a break, but I thank you for the call. Lines are open if you'd like to join us. On the Central Coast, it's 899-5792. Toll free from anywhere else at 888-579-2540. Get on the line and we'll talk with you soon. And the forum tonight at Humboldt State is 7 p.m. in room 118 of Founders Hall. That's 118 Founders Hall at Humboldt State University, starting tonight at 7 p.m. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. It's 521. Here's Metro Diane.
Start out this time around in Carmel. Carmel Valley Road at Meadows Road. We have a two-vehicle accident there. One vehicle actually was able to drive away. The other one just waiting on a tow truck to arrive and clear him on out of there. An accident in Felm Graham Hill Road at Mount Hermon Road. Two vehicles involved in that one. Good news for an accident in Salinas. An earlier accident at Blanco Road, Hitchcock Road. That accident has been cleared. In Santa Cruz, southbound one before Morrissey Boulevard. We actually had two earlier accidents at the same place, and those both have been cleared as well. This report is brought to you by Barbecues Galore. Barbecue season is officially open, and at Barbecues Galore, you will find the largest selection of grills, outdoor cooking islands, and everything else you need for barbecuing. Barbecues Galore, call 1-800-GRILL-UP. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back one more time in about a half an hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show with me, your humble host, Peter B. We're in the free speech zone where we take calls from anybody on any subject. And right now, my switchboard is wide open. We had a bunch of people holding, but they have better things to do. Give me a call, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. Or toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 1-888-579-2540. And while I'm waiting for more of your calls to come in, I want to first give credit to our producer, Matt Renner, who does a great job every day. He took care of business while I was away last week, and I just want to tip my hat to him. Also, I wanted to take a moment here to share with you what I think is a fascinating op-ed piece published in today's New York Times. And first, I want to identify the source. If you listen to this program, you know that I've been highly critical of the 9/11 Commission, and that in general, I feel that they've told us a lot of lies, a lot of whoppers, about what truly happened on 9/11. The stories we've been told don't square with the physical evidence. That said, John Farmer served as a senior counsel to the 9/11 Commission, or as David Ray Griffin properly renamed it, the Kane-Zelikow Commission. Philip Zelikow was assigned from the White House to be the chief of staff of the 9/11 Commission, just to make sure that they didn't get out of line. So with that said, Farmer wrote this piece, and he opens by talking about the Nuremberg trials. And then he says, those similarities related to the prosecution and the seeking of the death penalty for Zacharias Moussaoui only underscore how misguided the Moussaoui death penalty proceeding has been as the signature prosecution of the 9/11 atrocities and as a vindication of the rule of law. Put simply, Zacharias Moussaoui is no Hermann Göring. He's barely Colonel Klink. Wow. Through a perverse confluence, Moussaoui's interest in becoming something in death that he never was in life, important, has combined with the government's interest in executing someone for the 9/11 attacks. The likely result is an odd form of assisted suicide, in which Moussaoui will claim martyrdom as he is executed, and the United States will claim that the rule of law has been vindicated by bringing a terrorist to justice. Neither claim will be justified. Right penalty, says Farmer. Wrong terrorist. Zacharias Moussaoui is evil, and there's no doubt that he arrived here determined to kill Americans, but he was not a leader of Al-Qaeda. He was not even, as initially reported, the 20th hijacker. He was not in contact with the 9/11 hijackers in the U.S. His arrest in late August 2001 did nothing to disrupt the plot's timing. He sat in jail while the attacks unfolded. Based on his conduct, he should sit in jail some more. Six floors under, with 1 hour outside his cell per week for, 50 more years or so. So those are the comments from Mr. Farmer. And I would only add that I'm opposed to the death penalty, and I think that it is grisly to see the way that in the name of alleged American justice, the prosecutors have twisted the law and twisted the arguments in this desperate attempt to put this man to death. And it's tragic to see the people who lost loved ones on 9/11 trotted into this courtroom to pile on emotional evidence that doesn't have a damn thing to do with Moussaoui or this misguided effort to hang him, to kill him, for 9/11. It's reprehensible, it's un-American, and it's downright disgusting, and it's probably going to work. They even trotted out Rudy Giuliani the other day so that he could talk about what it cost New York and just how ugly 9/11 was. And all that may be true, but it doesn't have a damn thing to do with Moussaoui. And this is another dark moment in this new dark ages, where the American system of justice is being turned on its ear to deliver a verdict that is popular and that was predetermined and that is not sustained by the legal arguments and the evidence that have been presented. Robert in Soledad, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can I change subjects?
You sure can.
Our power's been off for about the last hour and a half, so I haven't heard anything you've said.
Okay.
But I've been waiting for the show all day. There's an article in the Herald today about the close race for the sheriff.
Yeah.
I'm running for the sheriff, and I'd like to discuss it.
Well, I'll tell you, Robert, this is not the right place to do
then,
it.
That's
just
fine, then.
Because our program doesn't really focus on the sheriff's race. We did do a debate you're probably quite familiar with on the noontime show on Saturday a couple of weeks ago. But honestly, I am not up
to
speed on the issues of your race.
No, it has to do with in general. It isn't anything specific.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with only 80-some people out of 307 members voting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's up with that?
Okay. Well, Robert, I thank you for the call. And again, I'm not really prepared to delve into that. But thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the Free Speech Zone. Your call can be next. Jump on the line, 888-579-2540, here on the PBC Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Ford Fusion, a four-door, five-passenger, mid-size sedan. This is my first time in a Fusion, and I think it's a great value. It delivers good mileage, even with a peppy, fuel-injected, 3-liter V6 engine and a 6-speed automatic. We took it for a weekend in the Napa Valley, and it performed very well. Inside, it's roomy and well-equipped with all the usual power toys, including 6-way power driver's seat and wheel-mounted radio controls. Options on my demo include heated seats and an audiophile sound system with 6 CD changer, MP3 input, and great speakers. If you like the Altima, Camry, or similar cars, test drive the Fusion. By the numbers, the 2006 Ford Fusion gets 21 mpg in the city, 29 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $26,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436, 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Rocking the nation with progressive talk. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. We're live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And we're on the air in Phoenix now on KPHX 1480. Wherever you are, I'm delighted you're listening. And you can call into the program toll free at 888-579-2540. And we're in the free speech zone here. You can comment on any issue in the news from any point of view and call us from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Again, toll free at 888-579-2540. My email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Feel free to drop me a note 24/7. Up next, we've got our friend Dennis in King City. Hello, Dennis. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Good to see you back.
Thank you.
I'm going to get on the McCain-Feingold bill. I go along with it with some contingencies, but
I think you're talking McCain-Kennedy, right?
Sorry,
the immigration.
McCain-Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
But I want to remind people of the NAFTA when it was passed.
Right.
Part of the sales pitch on NAFTA was that if we gave them our jobs, it would improve their economy, and they would stay there, and we wouldn't have as many people crossing the border. Well, mm-hmm. That sure didn't work out, did it?
Well, it only worked for a minute because shortly after they transferred some jobs to Mexico, global companies figured out that it's cheaper to go to India and China. And so even in that case, a lot of people from Mexico, Central and South America, had a promise that, it never materialized.
Yeah, if we remember right, I think the Mexican lobby spent $50 million, and I forget how many millions the corporation spent to get that NAFTA passed.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as it's McCain-Feingold, right?
No, McCain-Kennedy.
McCain-Kennedy. I can't get that right. Now, I would go along with this if they would, of course, do the border, guard the border real strong, and then also have the Mexican side guard their border. And if they didn't, then I think we've got to financially start to send them bills to protect our border. Because, you know, they've been insulting us for years. We all know it's an oligarchy, and they tell us that there are only 36 to 40 families control the whole country of Mexico. And they've just been kind of laughing at us because they know it's the second amount of income that comes to their country is behind oil. Is the money sent back by the workers to Mexico for their economy?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not about to do anything to change that. So I say, fine, let's go with that bill, but let's do something to guard the border, but also have Mexico guard their side, and then if financial is the only thing that gets people's attention, and start to build them, the money that we cost us to guard that border.
Well, I don't support that, Dennis, because it's our responsibility to control our border. And certainly, you know, I understand your point that it's a reciprocal issue and that, if they had better controls and limits on migration and the ability to cross, that we might be momentarily in a better position. But see, I'm one of those people who feels that you can never actually close a border. You can try. You can reduce the flow. But people who want to get into this country will do so, whether they take a ratty boat from Cuba and wash up in the Florida Keys, or they parasail in from Canada, or, you know, the obvious way that people come in who have a little bit more skill and means is they come here as tourists. They fly into our airports. They have a tourist visa, and then they overstay it. And so we have to have a comprehensive approach to these issues, and trying to tighten up the border, I think, is worthwhile. It is a sieve. And I would prefer to know exactly who is coming over, and that way we could weed out people who are either have a criminal past or who for other reasons are not suitable to enter our country for whatever reason. But to me, these calls to tighten up the border are a pipe dream. If you think you can actually just turn off immigration like a spigot. I don't believe it works that way. And yes, I'd like to take greater steps to control the flow so that A, we know who's coming in, and B, the people who are here are not living illegally and essentially being encouraged to break other laws because they're already in violation of our immigration laws.
Well, let me give you another angle, too, on this, Peter.
Okay.
Let's say, if this continues, and why don't we get some of these illegal aliens and offer them immediate citizenship if we train them and send them back and say, you know, take your beautiful, rich country back, because it is a beautiful country and it's a rich country. And I don't care if we have to train a military or whatever. Say, go back there and take it back from the rich. Now, I know that's radical. But something's got to happen. We fought for ours. A lot of people have. And they're going to have to do something. This cannot be run by the rich all the time.
I understand your point, and I am not at all defending the PRI or the oligarchs in Mexico. But there is a thing called sovereignty. And we need to respect their sovereignty as we expect them to respect ours. So, yes, I'd like to create incentives. I'd like to nudge them. Vicente Fox is a vast improvement over the PRI presidents we've had in the past. But, you know, we have to be fair that Mexico is not an extension of the United States, and Washington cannot dictate how Mexico should govern its affairs and manage its population. Thanks for the call, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, Peter. Two brief points. First of all, with these people that, like the last naive caller, they got to realize, American people got to realize that without Hispanic laborers, Texas and California would be swamps. The economies would be half of what they are, and the history would have no color. Now, to my other point, on
disagree with you, Ben. Go ahead.
They're putting on this big tearful show about people falling out of the sky hand in hand. Why weren't these films and all that tearful testimony given at the 9/11 commission with Bush and Cheney sitting there who would not take the oath to tell the truth? It's a backdoor attempt to vindicate the 9/11 commission, which was a dog and pony show like the Warren Commission. When is America going
to... Ben, depending on, you know, one's point of view, you listen to this program a lot. You
yes,
know
sir.
That I've raised serious questions about the official story of 9/11.
Yep.
But let's put that aside for a second. Let's say that all that stuff is true.
Yep.
Okay? It doesn't have any bearing on this guy Moussaoui.
He's a clown.
And he has lied, okay? He either lied when he pled guilty a year ago, or he lied when he took the stand against the advice of his attorneys in this penalty phase of the trial. He is not a reliable witness, on his own account. And as this op-ed piece by Farmer pointed out today, he wants to die. He doesn't want to spend the rest of his life in jail, and he's willing to sing any song he has to get extinguished.
Wouldn't
and we are so hell-bent, our government is, on extinguishing him, that they're willing to play along and ignore our system of justice, ignore the rule of law. They just want to snuff this cat.
Wouldn't that be comparable to putting Lee Harvey Oswald up for trial and running all these films of Kennedy's head being blown apart and just ignoring all the other co-conspirators, and including the Bush people, the CIA people, and all the evidence is there? Why do we ignore the truth in this country? We claim to believe in Jesus. What about the truth? The just the damn truth.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Jake in Arcata, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks.
I'd like to discuss Tom DeLay and the Republican Party's culture of corruption, but first I'd just like to thank all the listeners in Arizona for tuning in. You'll find that the Peter B. Collins Show is very addictive, and you'll be regular listeners soon enough.
Well, thank you, Jake. That's an unpaid testimonial.
Well, hey, it's the truth. And, you know, speaking of Arizona, I caught Meet the Press this Sunday, and who else was on there but J.D. Hayworth, the knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. This guy is an idiot, a racist, and he probably, you know, has a sheet, you know, that he wears at cross burnings, okay? This guy was basically saying that, you know, all of the people who are here illegally are felons and should be sent back. All 12 million are going to be rounded up, according to J.D. Hayworth and John Kyle, and sent back across the border. Well, like usual, the Republicans are lying. There's no way in hell they can do that. There's no way in hell, really, anybody other than racists like J.D. Hayworth would want to do that. Businesses in America would collapse if that took place. So it's about time we quit blaming our economic troubles on minority groups. I know that in 2002, the Republican Party played the Arab card. In 2004, it was the gay card. In 2006, all the Republican Party has left is racism. And now they're going to blame Mexicans and Mexican-Americans for our economic situation. And clearly, they are not to blame.
Well, I think you raise a very interesting point. And those of us in California remember quite vividly Prop 187. It had five elements, and on the face of it, before anybody cast a vote on 187, four of those five elements were clearly unconstitutional. They were an attempt by a state to supersede federal regulations and issues like the Constitution, which states that if you're born here, you're a citizen. And so that was seen as a wedge issue that was ridden by Governor Pete Wilson to a contentious re-election when he faced Kathleen Brown, who challenged him in, 94 it was. And I find it interesting that Republicans have paid a huge price for that, right up until the point that Schwarzenegger swept in through the recall. The Republicans have been shut out of statewide office in California for the most part. And a lot of it has to do with the bitter taste that remains from Prop 187. And likewise, I think the Washington right-wingers, some Democrats but almost all Republicans, are overplaying their hand, and that this will this is a price that will be extracted, hopefully in this midterm election, but possibly for a few cycles to come.
Well, that's right. When you have a 500,000 people in the streets of Dallas, Texas, you know the Republican Party is in trouble. And speaking of Texas, Tom DeLay, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this last week because you're on your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But how DeLay, you know, last Tuesday, he pretends that he retired from Congress successfully when, in fact, he resigned in disgrace because Tony Rudy, his former deputy chief of staff, turned state's evidence. There's another couple of DeLay's officials, there's Jack Abramoff, who DeLay, by the way, called, you know, one of his closest and dearest friends.
Right.
You know, Tom DeLay got all these free trips, all this money, you know, box seats, the Washington Redskins football games, you name it. This congressman, Tom DeLay from Texas, this Republican, this hypocrite, is going down. And I'm telling you, it's a great day for America because Tom DeLay is an idiot.
And, Jake, I caught part of his resignation speech. And if you saw it on the web, I think it was at crooksandliars.com. He had trouble controlling his hands. They were all over the place, and it's worth watching just to see that. The other thing that you will hear in his resignation or pre-retirement announcement is that it's all due to liberal Democrats.
That's right. You know, just like usual, these Republican leaders can't take any responsibility for their mistakes. They want to blame it on liberals.
Thank you, Jake.
Thank you.
Lines are open for you. Join us in the free speech zone. Toll free at 888-579-2540 or a free call on the Central Coast, 831-899-5792. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. for competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. Shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. It's 549, and here's Metro Diane.
We have an incident coming through for Aptos. It's southbound Highway 1 after Soquel Drive. There's a stalled vehicle blocking the right-hand lane. In Felton, Graham Hill Road at Mount Hermon Road, we have a two-vehicle accident. Looks like the drivers are in the process of pulling off the roadway and into a nearby parking lot just to exchange information and then move on out. An earlier accident in Greenfield, Arroyo Seco Road at Elm Avenue. This was a major injury accident. A propane truck actually hit a tree. The emergency crews and CHP still on scene working on clearing that up. This report is brought to you by Realty World. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your local Realty World broker for integrity, service, experience. Realty World, where the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. I'm Dio Traffic on KRXA 540.
Ten minutes away from the top of the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show with me, Peter B. And the T-Birds say that time's a waste and I gotta wrap it up.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexy now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
And this just in from Roma, challenger Romano Prodi's center-left coalition has won a narrow victory in the Italian parliamentary election, according to official results published today. But Silvio Berlusconi, the conservative prime minister who owns most of the media in Italy, has refused to concede defeat. So this will be an interesting one, and it's also going to be fascinating to see how the Bush administration plays this. Berlusconi has been a strong supporter of Bush and sent Italian troops to Iraq, which has been a big issue in this campaign. Paul in Eureka. Paul, you're on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to add a little something to the legal immigration debate. This idea that the cheap labor that's provided through illegal immigration is good for the American economy, I would like to refute that in the sense that while it may be good for the unscrupulous employers who exploit migrant workers, the rest of society ends up having to pay the social costs when these people need education, medical services, and whatnot. Now, I don't advocate punitive measures towards the victims, mm-hmm. i.e. the migrant workers, but I think what we need to do is reverse these cheap labor policies that are largely imposed on the third world, including Mexico, through policies such as NAFTA and GATT, and return to a system of international agreements where labor rights are enforced and respected.
Well, I agree, and one of the points I made earlier is that we need to raise wages on both sides of the border. And so we need to make sure that employers pay a fair wage to any employee, legal or otherwise, so that there isn't this two-tier system that rewards employers who break the law and who create the magnet for additional illegal immigration. If we did that, we would be reducing the economic incentive for people to break the law and enter our country. And if we could succeed, and I don't support Dennis's ideas essentially of imposing our will on Mexico, but I think that there are diplomatic ways and economic methods that we can use to try to bring up the standard of living and the standard of the workforce in Mexico in particular, in a way that would long-term reduce the magnet of migration that we are providing. And if we, penalized employers who violate the law on a regular basis and force them to pay a prevailing wage to every worker, then we would be reducing that process where we are excluding many American workers who would do construction, who would do meatpacking, who might even work as gardeners if they could make a decent living doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brings out the hypocrisy of the Republicans. They want to turn popular anger against the victims of this cheap labor policies, which they themselves are imposing on the world. But by making the victims felons, but they'll never make the employers who exploit these people felons.
Right.
And that, to me, that's the hypocrisy. And again, I would like to reiterate, I think a lot of what's wrong with the third world, including Mexico, is the cheap labor policies being imposed on those nations by the multinational financier interests that are imposing NAFTA and GATT and these cheap labor sovereignty wrecking policies on the less developed countries.
Well, and that's why free trade is problematic. I believe in fair trade, and I think that we should use tariffs on a selective basis to protect American workers and American industries, and also to prevent that kind of globe-trotting for the lowest labor price available, because that's simply a race to the bottom, and the only winners are the people at the very, very top, the people Bush calls the haves and the have-mores, his base.
And if you look at American history, you'll see that America traditionally had a high tariff policy, in that basically the most close relation to the free market economics we have today was employed by the old Southern Confederacy. And a lot of these neocons still go back to the Confederate Constitution as their model of, you know, free markets, cheap labor. And we see how that turned out for humanity.
The other thing I'd add to your list there is the supremacy of capital. And those who have it have the power. Thank you very much, Paul. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show tonight, Joe.
Yeah, I would just say one thing. NAFTA was not imposed on the Mexican government. It was a crooked government down in Mexico that imposed it on the people, which is the same sort of nonsense we got to put up with in this country from our crooked leaders. But anyway, you know, I think it's kind of odd and kind of strange that the same people for the last 6 years, namely Democrats, have given Ralph Nader and the Green Party so much crap. I don't know. Seems like to me, maybe I haven't been looking in the right places, they've been strangely silent about Joe Lieberman threatening the Democratic Party over there in Connecticut. And Joe Lieberman has indicated if he doesn't get his way, he's going to leave the Democratic Party and run for the Senate as an independent if he doesn't win the nomination there.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Well,
and he can follow Zell Miller
Oh, well,
into the dustbin of Democratic history. I think that this guy, Ned Lamont, who is a self-funded candidate, we've had him on the program once, and I found him pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to give Lieberman a real run for the Democratic nomination. And
well, I sure hope he does win.
If Lieberman holds to his threat and runs as an independent, okay. Mm-hmm. I, you know, it's a free country, and he is entitled to do that. But I think that if he loses the Democratic primary, he will be very hard put to prevail as an independent. Now, Connecticut has a history of, you know, fairly independent people. Lowell Weicker, who held that Senate seat before Lieberman and also has served as governor there, was a relatively enlightened Republican, a moderate
well, he was
guy.
About the last decent Republican there was until, of course, this neo-fascist Joe Lieberman bounced him out. And he actually had the endorsement of the National Review magazine at the time, which is amazing.
Indeed.
You hear people keep on talking about, oh, well, Joe Lieberman changed his views in the last 5 years or something. Joe Lieberman has always been terrible on all the issues.
You're pretty doggone right. Thank you, Joe. Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong one. We're looking for Trigger here. Ladies and gentlemen, join us again tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show. In our second hour, we're going to talk about the Lodi Mosque trial with Professor Carl Tobias. That's tomorrow. I hope you'll join me right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Until we meet again, happy
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, an especially delicious slice of our tasty planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Like to drive? If that's the case.
Get your pocketbooks ready. It's going to be a very expensive summer.
You'll be paying a lot more for gas this summer than you did last year.
The government's new seasonal outlook predicts gas prices will be up about a quarter a gallon from last year.
262 is our projection for the summer of 06.
Energy Information Administrator Guy Caruso's estimate falls a bit short of analyst Phil Flynn's.
More than likely, the average cost across the nation is going to be about $3 a gallon.
The big factor, according to oil industry economist John Felmy,
crude oil prices are up significantly.
The government forecast does not expect this to cut driving. In fact, people are expected to put more miles on their cars this summer. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
More gut-wrenching testimony at the sentencing trial of 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui. At the courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia, CBS's Barry Bagnato listened in.
Victims' relatives bring to court a variety of feelings. Sherry Tolbert was asked how the death of her husband Vince at the Pentagon has affected her. I get to go to church alone. I get to go to bed alone, she said. She said you can tell how much her three children have grown by comparing the pictures taken over time at his gravestone. Ray Zhang feels tremendous guilt. It never goes away, she says. She convinced her parents from China not to take their scheduled flight and to wait a day and take American Flight 77 on September 11th. They died at the Pentagon.
The prosecution showed some pretty gruesome pictures, too. Shots of burned victims and bones found in the wreckage of the Pentagon. As he was leaving the courtroom, Moussaoui was heard saying, "Burn all the Pentagon next time." James Zadroga was an NYPD detective. He worked at Ground Zero in the hours, days, and weeks after 9/11. He died early this year after respiratory troubles. Now a New Jersey coroner says his death is directly relatable to his work at Ground Zero, the first known ruling positively linking a death to cleanup work at the World Trade Center site. 6 days till the tax deadline. Have you filed yet? You better get to it and be honest and careful. CBS's Bob Orr says the IRS
is stepping up enforcement.
The IRS blames much of the so-called $350 billion tax gap on small businesses, the self-employed, and people who work for cash. Nearly $200 billion is lost due to underreported incomes and